siren time. Crows will win. Blues have been very brave. Adelaide win by 9, 14-15-99. Carlton 14-6-90.
26 past 12 and half time. That was the result on Saturday. An amazing game of footy, really, if you got the chance to watch that in the stands or at home. Adelaide and Carlton. Game on it was, pretty much from the start. It would have been tough in the coach's box of the Adelaide Football Club. Your assistant coach, former teammate of mine, David Teague, joins us. G'day, Teague.
G'day, Harp. How you going, mate?
Going very well. I imagine fairly anxious moments in the coach's box through the afternoon on Saturday at the MCG. What was it like?
Yeah, it was. It wasn't the prettiest game by both teams, but Carlton definitely turned up to play, and they didn't allow us to play the style we wanted to play, and then probably both teams would have been a bit frustrated with their execution and their disposal at times, which kept the other side in the game.
There didn't seem to be, watching it at home, Teague, there didn't seem to be a lot of downtime in the game, and it was really rapid fire up and down the ground. Do you think that led to some of the disposal inefficiencies, some would say, in the second half?
Yeah, you could be right. You could be right. I know Phil Walsh was a little worried about our boys after watching Freo the night before. That game the week before was a very intense game, so we're just hoping that the boys turned up. So, yeah, you could be right. I haven't actually looked at the GPS side of things, but... of the game, but it was fanatical. The pressure was good. The crowd got involved. We were very lucky. We had a lot of Adelaide supporters over there, and it was good to see the Carlton get behind John Barker and the team. And when they got in front, you could definitely hear the old navy blue tone coming back out again.
You had a good couple of leaders stand up in the game late when it was really on the line. And a guy who I've got a bit of time for as a footballer, but hasn't really stamped himself consistently enough for my liking, Josh Jenkins, said, "I'm prepared to play the role today, coach, and get the job done." And thought he was terrific on the weekend.
Yeah, he was. He's probably changed his role the last couple of weeks. And even against Freo, he was really important for us. He often had to compete against two, and when that happens, we just want to contest, get the ball to ground, and then this week it just happened he got a lot more one-on-one battles, and he won enough of them, and he hit the scoreboard. So it's been good for him. He had a bit of an injury there, and he's come back, and we've loved his attitude, the way he's gone about it the last couple of weeks.
Rory Laird's another one I was really impressed with on the weekend. Where's his development been impressive most for you?
Yeah, look, Rory's he hasn't missed a beat in terms of training all pre-season. He's been outstanding for us. He's probably been one of our most consistent players. He's gone from, he tagged Brent Harvey in round one and got the job done. He's played as a spare drop-off type player behind the ball because he can mark it. And he's had a variety of roles, and he just the way he applies himself as a coach, you love guys that just absolutely give their all. And we're often showing clips on a Monday of him just putting his body on the line, and he got concussion one week, and the next week he's going back with a fly of the ball, and just putting the absolute team first, which is really pleasing.
He was brilliant, 26 disposals, and got some votes in the Coaches Association Player of the Year Award too. We'll go through them shortly. You've mentioned the Freo game the weekend before, Teague, and how you paid particular attention to the way they played on Friday night against Richmond. But what about from an individual point of view? We had the Dangerfield Fife matchup was just enthralling to watch. Both players left nothing out there. How did you manage a guy like Patrick Dangerfield, who you rely on pretty heavily, during that week to get up for this game? Oh, we've lost him. Have I lost you there, Teague? Well, we've got a few issues here. Got a gremlin in the system. Got to step to the left. It's a good question too, I thought. Really nailed that. And not sure he's going to answer my question. Is he back with me? He's back with me.
Yes, I'm back. I'm back.
You're back.
Yes. Not sure where I went.
Great work. Did you get the question, or I'll ask it again?
Was it about Patrick Dangerfield?
Yeah. He left everything out. Left nothing out there on the weekend before against Fremantle. How did you manage him this week in the build-up to this game? Because he was always going to be important, and always is important for you guys. How did you manage him as an individual through the week?
Yeah, look, yeah, that's probably the strength of the industry now is with the GPS and the workloads, they monitor them so closely. So every player, as much as we do training, every player each week has a different amount of volume, they use the word, to describe how much work they do. So, look, he's run it. He digs deep for us because quite often he doesn't even come off at times. We just send him forward. So we send him to the goal square to down there, and he doesn't get as much of a spell as some other players. So he's been enormous for us, as have a lot of our players, but he's one that is very exciting for the crowd. He's undergoing
You're 6-4 at the break. Probably comes at a good time, I suppose. Probably does every year for every team, whenever that break is. 6-4, you're happy with 6-4?
We're probably one behind where we feel we should have been. Probably had a chance in a few of the games where we've had more scoring shots and just haven't capitalised. So, look, we're happy with the way the team's playing. Obviously, new coaching group and the way the players have applied themselves and the way they play team-first football has been really pleasing. So we're really happy with their effort. It's just probably the results a couple of times have kicked a little bit better. We may have been won another game.
And how's Phil Walsh settling in? 10 games in now. He's had the pre-season in 10 games. Is he fully in control there at Adelaide?
Yeah, Dustin Water. He's been around for a long time and he's been regarded very highly in the industry. And probably the thing that I've really noticed, he's walked in, he's got a clear plan and he's messaging every player, every person at the club, working at the club, knows exactly what's required of them. And there's no messages. So it's been really good. I think he's enjoying it. Some aspects he probably doesn't enjoy as much as others, but when it comes to game day, that's when he's in his element, and I think he's really enjoying it, and it's been great working with him.
Well, he's got a break. The players get 4 days off anyway. I hope the coaches get a couple off as well so you can freshen the head up, Teague. Nice to chat, mate. Stay well. Good luck for the rest of the year.
Cheers. I appreciate that.
David Teague, Carlton Best and Fairest, playing against, or playing for them, of course, and coaching at Adelaide this year as an assistant to Phil Walsh. Let's go through the AFL Coaches Association Champion Player of the Year votes for Round 10. Freo and Richmond, Dustin Martin getting top odds there, the 10 votes, and so he should too. He was fantastic. Matt Fyfe sneaking in for two. Carlton and Adelaide, Josh Jenkins with 9. Mark Murphy was brilliant, leading the Blues with 9 as well. Gold Coast and Sydney, Dan Hannabury, the perfect 10. Jared McVeigh with 7. Essendon and Geelong, a dominant Cats performance. All Cats players in the votes. Harry Taylor with the perfect 10. Ollie Wines with 10. And Chad Wingard 7 for the Power and Doggies game. Giants and the Brisbane Lions. Callan Ward with the perfect 10. North Melbourne and West Coast, Sean Higgins 9. Jack Zeeble 8. St Kilda and Hawthorn, Sam Mitchell got all 10 votes from the coaches. Jack Stephen, who was very, very good, got 8. And Melbourne Collingwood on Monday. Travis Cloak, 7 straight, gets him 10 votes. Adam Oxley with 7. And Bernie Vince as well on 7, which means the top 5 for equal 5th. Scott Pendlebury and Matt Prittis are on 40 votes. Dylan Shield from GWS is on 42, along with David Armitage in equal 3rd. Dan Hannabury rockets to clear 2nd now with those 10 votes. He's on 61, but still leading comfortably by 19 on 80 votes after 10 games. That's out of a possible 100. Nat Fyfe from the Fremantle Dockers